For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome to Believe in K-State, hosted by Reggie Blackwell and Joe Matthew. Today, Reggie and I talk about the game of the year against the Texas Longhorns coming up on Saturday. Win that one, and K-State has the inside track and controls their own destiny to make the Big 12 championship game. We also talk a little bit about basketball recruiting and our favorite memories of Bobby Knight. We'll get right into the podcast, but first, a message from our sponsor.
The last of the major pro sports leagues is off and rolling, and college basketball is ready to go as well. BetOnline remains your top spot for all of your live betting action and contests. NFL, college football, UFC, and NHL are all in full swing. BetOnline is your number one source for wagering news, odds, trends, and predictions. All the hoops betting action, along with every sport available at your fingertips, with both desktop and mobile access at any time. Head to the BetOnline today and remember to use our promo code BELIEVE for your 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Good afternoon, Joe. How you
doing? I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Okay, great. Good football last week. We're recording a little bit later than we normally are in the week, so we won't do too much on the Houston game, which was one that was quite the game for K-State in all areas. Special teams, offense, defense, everybody looked great. Mm-hmm. One of the most solid, complete games that K-State has put together in probably a couple of years across the board.
And as I was watching the game, it was like we were watching us play Southwest Missouri State or something like that. It was that dominating. I kept thinking, why is Houston in our league? We all know why, but they're not stacking up to the current Big 12 members at this point. They've got a ways to go to catch up to everyone else. Let's just put it that way.
No, you're exactly right about that one, Joe. They didn't. I don't know if it was a matter of Houston being that bad, or did we just play that well?
Yeah, I think it was a little of both, but
yeah, because Houston didn't look that bad. Obviously, they played a very bullish game against Texas the week before, but that's kind of they were at home and a little Texas rivalry, a little spirit there. But for the most part, they have been competitive against other Big 12 teams. We just seem to be firing off on everything last Saturday.
Yeah, they're kind of hard to figure out. They played a couple of close games, and then they've got blown out too at the same time. But, we didn't really see much of Avery Johnson in the game. Will Howard played most of the game. Of course, Avery had that fumble on the handoff exchange early on in the game. And then, gave Kleiman a reason to sit him and kind of teach him a lesson, I guess, by giving him some bench time, but it was good because the game wasn't even close or competitive. So we definitely didn't need Avery Johnson in that game.
Now, Will Howard started the game 12 for 12. As you can see, the emergence of Avery Johnson, as we spoke about last week, has truly pushed Will Howard, I think, to a better game to get his game in order. But I will tell you that drop by Avery, a freshman mistake, no doubt, I would have brought him back immediately the next series just from a mental standpoint. He did come back in the game, did throw a touchdown. It was more of in mop-up duty. But I would have just came back to him because the game was in hand. Mm-hmm. I would have came back to him sooner than later.
Yeah, I didn't really have a problem with how Kleiman handled that. Like I said, it wasn't a real competitive game anyway. And Avery came back in and, you know, ran the offense efficiently and didn't make any other mistakes. So it all worked out in the long run. So,
well, no, absolutely. So, I mean, we had stars across the board for candidates of our big baller of the game, you know, from Will Howard, who had a very good game, consistent, didn't have to play the entire game, but was 15 of 17 for 164 yards. You know, probably, as Kleiman stated in his press conference, three touchdowns, one of his most complete games of the year. That was a very good game. Also, Will Howard had 24 yards rushing, zero turnovers, executed the offense very well. So he was very complete. But I also liked, again, the way DJ Giddings ran the ball. You know, he was just shy of 100 yards. He had 96 yards on 13 carries, a long of 14 yards. He carried the ball very well as well.
Yeah, I think, well, Kleiman said that might be the best game that Will Howard has played at K-State. Right. So he was really impressed with him. I wouldn't go that far from my perspective, but, you know, there's no complaints with how he played. And, yeah, DJ Giddens had another strong game. So,
and then you have Phillip Brooks, you know, five receptions, 83 yards, a couple big catches. He was wide open on the touchdown for the 40-yard one, but he did make a nice contested catch in the game as well. Just seemed like he's becoming our more reliable, dependable receiver.
Yeah, all of a sudden, Phillip Brooks was back. That's kind of what I thought about that, was kind of disappeared there for a couple games. We didn't hear much of him, but he had a real solid game on Saturday, so that was good to see.
Yeah, and then overall the defense, a couple candidates in particular. I think Will Lee is getting over his injury. He's trying to get his spot back. He played a very good game. You know, had six tackles. He had created a fumble with the turnover on a nice hit later part of the game. Had an interception as well. It had a nice pass breakup. He just overall, to me, played a solid game.
Mm-hmm. Yep, definitely on that.
But another guy that's been playing very well, too, and he's just going about his business. A lot of people are not talking about him as much. The safety, Marquise Siegel. Yeah. He had seven total tackles, one tackle for loss. But it just seemed like he's playing the safety spot with very good discipline, good eye movement. And him and Savage, when they kind of switched, he didn't switch spots, but Payne switched spots with Savage. But it just overall seemed like Payne, Savage, and Siegel now, the three safeties, are kind of getting on the same accord.
Yeah, they're all playing well. And my buddy who I was sitting with at the game, I commented to him sometime in the third quarter. I said, man, that Siegel, he's playing well. So I verbalized that during the game because he was all over the place and really, really playing well. And, you know, That's good to see. And all those guys are playing well, but Siegel has been kind of sticking out as, you know, really raising the level of his game.
No, I would agree. So it's a very hard choice for me to really pick one person collectively. I got to go again. Anytime you can pitch a shutout in a Big 12 game against a Big 12 opponent, that's a major accomplishment. I don't care who you playing, which team. But to be able to shut Houston out 41-0, coming off of another basically big where you only gave up 3 points, I got to give my big baller once again to Klanderman and the whole defensive unit for a great job. Offensively, we got some things done, but to be able to hold a Big 12 opponent to 0 points is quite the accomplishment.
Especially Houston, you know, they've been successful passing the ball, and they can move the ball downfield and score. So it makes it all that more impressive to shut them out.
Yeah, it definitely does. Because their quarterback is not no slouch. No. And they got some pretty good receivers. But I think as a unit, it feels like the Kansas State defense is playing more looser. They're flying around the ball. I think they're not overthinking things. Maybe Klinderman and Kleiman simplified a few things on the defense, so giving them less things to think about and just giving them just a few calls and just really, really got them running and flying around.
Yeah, and it's coming at the right time. They're playing the best football with the game of the year coming up tomorrow.
Absolutely. So, big baller, K-State defense. So let's switch gears to the biggest game on the calendar. Kleiman mentioned it earlier. When you plan meaningful games in the month of November, that means you're doing something right. We're probably right where we thought K-State would be. I wouldn't have thought that they would have two losses. I thought they would be coming in here with one loss. I didn't think the loss would be to Oklahoma State. But we're probably not too far off the calendar off the where we think K-State should be. But it's really, really going to be, I say, kind of somewhat surreal after if we can beat Texas this week, what we would have, could have, should have did if we beat Mizzou and Oklahoma State. Because it could have been really a special year.
That's exactly what I was thinking earlier this week, is if we beat Texas, man, we could you know, you got to take it a game at a time, but
right,
man, you run the table, and then you still got those two losses earlier, which, and I wanted to ask you, too, what if we play Missouri, say, a week from Saturday again? How different does that game look? Or even Oklahoma State?
I just thought about, I just had that conversation with a buddy earlier today. I think Missouri is playing well. They're doing good, but I think we're playing much better.
Yeah.
And absolutely. Even the way we played, we still had a chance to win that game.
Yeah.
At the level of what we played at. So that makes you, it stings in your heart on that one.
Yeah. And, you know, with still only four teams in the playoffs, you know, a two loss K-State team, even if they were to run the table, isn't going to get in there.
No,
even
it's not going to get in.
If they win the Big 12, you know. That's a conversation for another day, but with the expanded playoff, they would get in, I guess, if there's an automatic berth for the Big 12 champion. But, yeah, not this year. They're not. There's no shot.
No, and that's what to keep things in perspective, though. Yeah, we're not going to diverge too much in talking about a 12-team playoff, but I do think we have to be mindful of winning the conference championship now, even if you have a loss or two, is going to get you that automatic bid.
Yeah.
The way it's set up right now. So, you know, winning 12, you know, it's not going to mean that you always got to go 12-0 and win the pitcher to get it to the show. If you can win your conference, even if you got a loss, you can get in there.
Yep. That's what I'm looking forward to. Yeah, Alabama with a loss or two will get in. K-State with a loss or two will not. So,
yeah, one loss, I still think one loss, though, Joe, we still would have a shot.
Yeah, true. I think Texas with one loss would probably get in. We'd have to see, though.
No doubt. So what you got for me for Wapping Fire for this week?
All right. Number one. Okay. Vegas has the spread at Texas, favored by 4 points. So who covers the spread, Texas or K-State?
Well, you got to take K-State. That's, I mean, four is smaller than I thought. I think the 20-year factor plays into that. But I'm going to take K-State to cover.
All right. So K-State averages 226 rushing yards a game. Texas gives up 97.9 yards a game. So my question is, which team gets closer to their average on Saturday?
I still think K-State gets to his more closer to his average. It may not get there, but Texas is not seeing a rushing attack team that really relies on the rush and will stick with the rush as they will see in K-State. I don't even think Alabama was a team that will rush the ball as good as we will on a consistent basis. So I think we're the most consistent rushing attack team that they will see all year, inclusive of Oklahoma.
I would hope K-State gets more than 100 yards rushing, closer to
150. If we only get 96, it might be a long day.
Yeah, exactly. So does the loser of this game still have a shot at the Big 12 championship game? In other words, is this a elimination game?
I think it's absolutely an elimination game, because unless something dramatically happened and it really gets reared down the stretch, I don't think things are going to fall like they did last year, where you can have two Big 12 losses and still get in. I don't think that, and the tiebreakers and all those things have to fall. You know, it's going to be very difficult, because I think Texas, they'll have a loss over Oklahoma and us. It would be hard for them to get back in unless something, you know, unless we stub our toe down the stretch, which is possible, to either Baylor, KU, or Iowa State. And then also, I don't think that Oklahoma, with the exception of the game that they got tomorrow against, I think that's the only other team that can possibly beat them in the regular season with the schedule that they have left.
Okay. So will Avery Johnson play more than 15 snaps?
That's a good one. That's a good one. I think we're going to need the quarterback run game. I think Avery Johnson is going to play more than 15 snaps, or probably right at it. I think we're going to need his legs to kind of change the pace a little bit for this game, to give Texas some various different looks, as many things as we can. I think you're going to see the playbook from Colin Klein really be opened up. I think we're going to pull everything out of the book that you can think of. Flea flicker, two quarterbacks in at the same time, all kind of different things. Double pass. You may see everything tomorrow.
All right. So we'll get back into the game and give our final thoughts about it. But with legendary Hall of Fame coach Bobby Knight passing away yesterday, what is your favorite Bobby Knight memory?
Well, it's got to be when he threw the chair.
That's a good one.
Yeah, Bobby Knight was a passionate coach. But the one thing that I like, I never met Bobby Knight. I've only just read about it and experiences. If you look at everything, all the players always liked him.
Yes.
So as matter however way the public or any of us may have thought of him or thought that he was a kind of a prick or whatever, everybody to a man of basketball that played for him or even played with him when he was the Olympic coach, everybody loved him. Yeah. So I think you got to give that kudos to Bobby Knight. Rest
Definitely.
In peace.
Yeah, my favorite is when he was coaching at Indiana and Michigan. I think they were both in the top five but it was like one of those national game of the week games on TV. And after the game, Leslie Visser was the sideline reporter. And I'm not a big fan of the sideline reporters in general. After the game, Indiana won, and she gets Coach Knight to come over to for an interview. And she goes, "Bobby, congratulations. How did you beat Michigan?" And he's, without missing a beat, he said, "Well, in case you missed it, we scored more points than they did."
That was pretty good.
Just right off the cuff like that. That's just how he was. He always had some quip like that that would make you chuckle and make you laugh. And it was, sometimes it was off color, of course. But I mean, to me, he's one of the greatest basketball coaches ever. And he's definitely old school, and he rubbed people the wrong way. But like you said, his players, almost to a person, loved playing for him. And I think there was more good than bad there, I guess I would say.
Well, speaking of basketball, we want to diverge for a little bit here. I want to ask you about your opinion on the big recruit that was in town last Saturday, Patrick.
Mm-hmm.
The big center. Do you think all the rumors saying Duke right now, do you think anything with the Naquan Tomlin situation affected this young man's decision?
I don't think that had anything to do with it. I've heard it's because of NIL money with Duke. They were able to, promise him more than K-State was. That's rumor. I don't have anything.
That is a strong, good rumor.
Back
same rumor I'm hearing.
But I don't think the Tomlin thing had anything to do with that, no. I don't know why it would.
Do we think it's a foregone conclusion that it's over with? He's going to Duke?
I don't think so.
All
signs are pointing that way, but I don't know. When all the recruiting sites switch it, then that they know something there. So, but it's not 100% yet. So I guess we'll find out tomorrow. What do you think?
I think that, I think something is leaning strong Duke for whatever reason, excuse me. And usually the players let the coaches know a week or so before they announce it. So, like, everybody knows. Usually that's mm-hmm. the case. They don't go into the hat thing or whatever they do or how are they going to make the announcement without the team that's going to actually be the team knows. So, with so much sway going that way to Duke, it's giving me pause to think that something is happening. But I'm not convinced yet that it's completely over. And if it's a battle of NIL money, K-State may get into the ballpark and they might swing this thing back. I think the relationship part, he definitely loved K-State.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's a matter of NIL and it's a significant difference in NIL, then that's the reason for Duke. But I think if the money was fairly close, even if Duke was a little bit more, he would still swing K-State.
Yeah, I agree that I think he let one of the coaches know, or maybe all the coaches at Duke know, that he was going to lean, or he's, going to announce that way. Probably gave him a verbal, under the table, I guess, and something, that's how that kind of got out there. So that's probably what happened, but until he makes that announcement, we don't know for sure.
Right. I just think K-State Nation, though, they listening. It's not the end of the world.
No.
I think sometimes we get so invested in these recruits and, that when you don't get them, it's like, oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
It's just part of the process.
It is. I mean, I can't get worked up about it. I log on to Twitter and I see the freak out and the mob going. And
right.
I just shake my head. You know, why are you getting worked up about this? I mean, and to be honest, we've had good recruits come in before on both football and basketball that didn't even pan out, that weren't any good. So now this guy is a top 25 player. You know, you're pretty solid. You think he's going to be good, but it's, you know, no guarantee. So that's why I don't really get that worked up about it. It would be nice to get a player like that. Definitely. But I don't know. I just don't get worked up about it.
No, no question.
Yeah.
Well, our thoughts on the big game. I will say, to put this back in perspective, Kansas State has an opportunity to do something that still hasn't ever been done at Kansas State University, and that's to be repeating as back-to-back Big 12 champion. Now, it is still, they got a long way to go because they got four games to go. This is a big hurdle in that step, but it would clear the way for them to take care of business against Baylor, go on the road, play a very tough Kansas team, which would be another dogfight, and then have to end the season with another rival with Iowa State at home, which is always dipping tough. So I think the way K-State is looking at this is like an NCAA tournament. 1 week at a time, but you can't be eliminated if you lose one. So they're going to take each one at a time.
I like K-State's chances in a close game in this one. Mainly because I don't see any statistical advantage really either way for either team. But Quinn Ewers is not playing for Texas.
Yes.
So Malik Murphy will be playing. He'll be getting his second start in a row. He was just okay last week. And we have the senior quarterback with a lot of experience. I think that's going to be the difference in the game, to be honest. And that's why I give K-State a slight advantage there. I think it's going to be a nail biter throughout, probably back and forth. I think K-State wins something 27-24, something like that, a close game.
Well, we're in the same neighborhood. I think K-State will pull it out 31-28. The reasoning is, number one, I do think Malik Murphy is a backup quarterback for a reason. Yeah. Quinn Ewers is better. And when you don't have your starting quarterback, that is a drop-off. Now, we're not saying Malik Murphy doesn't have any talent. He wouldn't be on a Texas roster if he didn't. But he doesn't have the experience.
Right.
And he's still just a redshirt freshman. He only making his second start. And I think he's making it against one of the best defenses in the Big 12. So that's why I think Vegas got the line at 4 where it's at. I think that's why a lot of people are thinking that K-State has a puncher's chance. I think they can get it done, but it'll be a nip and tuck field goal type game, but I think we'll get it done 31-28.
Yep, I agree with you.
So I'm rolling with the Cats for a big, big, big victory.
I am too, and let's get it done and roll on to that repeat.
No doubt. Well, for Believe in K-State, I'll be down in Austin, Joe. I'll be getting out of here very early in the morning.
All right.
So I'll be cheering on the Cats from the lovely city of Austin, Texas, and hopefully we'll get it done.
Yeah, I'll be cheering on the Cats from my couch.
I understand.
I went on StubHub earlier this week, and I thought, I could drive down there. But, yeah, I looked at tickets, and they were $110 in, like, the top row of the stadium. So,
yeah,
I decided against that.
I understand. Well, let's rock and roll. We'll cheer them on, and go Wildcats.
Go Wildcats. Thanks, Reggie.
All right, have a good weekend.
You too, man.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.